Thanks for joining us for the All Things Catholic Sex mini-series. It is our prayer that as you listen, you fall more in love with your spouse and more in love with God's plan for sex and marriage. Stick with us. Welcome back to Lesson 2 in this series on all things Catholic married sex. We have already talked about two major ways where Satan has corrupted sex, both as an erotic experience where it's just about pleasure and about me, and then also through prudism where we are confused and believe Satan's lie that sin is that sex is a sin and that it's dirty. So we're going to leave those things behind for today. And today we're going to turn our focus to God's plan for sex. Because remember, sex isn't just something that human beings dreamed up. It is certainly created by God and his plan for the connection between married couples, for the way that the family comes apart, and for really living out the sacrament of marriage. Now, to kick this thing off, one of the facts that I came across in some pretty extensive just secular marriage research from psychologists and researchers is this number. Research has shown that 70% of men and women say that the biggest factor in whether their sex life is satisfying is this. It is the quality of the friendship that they have with their spouse. So 70% say that the number one indicator is not positions or whether, you know, you have an few extra pounds or if life's stressful or whatever. It's if you have a deep and true friendship with your spouse. And I think this speaks to, even in the secular world, people putting their finger upon the fact that this is divinely created, that the sex act is meant to bring two people who love each other even closer together. Now, here's a quick rundown of all of the things that God created sex to be. God himself created sex to be very pleasurable. He created it to be driven by intimacy and arousal, both of them. He also created sex to overcome shame, not to create shame, but to overcome it. He created sex to work for the good of the other person, to welcome children. He created sex as a vehicle for us to share our whole self with someone else. He created sex to be between two equal people. He created sex to be joyful over time, to not get old, but to continue to bring joy. And he also created sex to bring life and health. Now, finally, God created sex to be a sacrament. The marital act is an expression of the sacrament of marriage. The sacrament of marriage is not just something that we received on our wedding day. It is something that we continue to renew every time we engage in the marital act. Marriage, the sacrament, allows us to mirror the love that God has for us, and that love is total. It is the love of complete gift of self. So self-donation, this is a word that JP2 uses when he describes sex act. So self-donation is a love that empowers us to use our bodies, minds, and souls in the work of providing the good for another person. In the marital act, we give all that we are to another person. Now, JP2 talks about personhood, meaning seeing a whole person, not just their body, but also not just their mind, and not just their ability to have children or their ability to give us something, but their whole person, mind, body, and spirit. Personhood is the quality that compels me to think of my body as a gift and to acknowledge that my bodily functions, all of them, and even my husband's urges, they aren't icky, they aren't sinful at all, but they are the way that God created me to be, the way God created him to be, and together, both of our bodies, that is how God created marriage. Marriage and the Marital Act also demand that we properly understand what it means to be a man and to be a woman, to have this body, to be a uniquely created woman and to be uniquely created as a man. And we can only really know who we are in the lens of the feminine and the masculine. And this is a whole other conversation where we talk about the feminine genius or the way that men are called to be priest, prophet, and king. So I encourage you to dig into that. But again, we're showing up as a whole person in all of the beautiful ways that God created us. So next, we're going to go through the five great powers of holy sex. And these come from someone that I truly admire, Dr. Popkak. He wrote a great book, a very long book. If you want to dive deeper into each of these, it's called Holy Sex. Great Catholic resource if you want to read further. So number one, the first great power of holy sex is that sex does make us holy. Doesn't that sound crazy? But it does. The marital act enables us to love with the power of God, because sex is a supernatural thing created by God. JP2 taught that the Eucharist is a source of matrimony. Jesus' primary relationship with us is that as the bridegroom. On the cross and at each Mass in the Eucharist, Christ gave himself to us completely. Therefore, in marriage, our love for our spouse should be completely given to the other, free of any self-interest, unconditional, faithful, permanent, and without rivals, just as Christ gave himself completely, so we do in sex. Now, the aim of every sacrament, including the sacrament of marriage, is achieving unity with God. And remember, the sex act is the actual participation in the sacrament of matrimony, and therefore we are getting closer to God. Now, the second superpower of holy sex is that sex has sacramental and redemptive power. JP2 wrote in Familius Consortio, Christian marriage, like the other sacraments, whose purpose is to sanctify God's people, to build up the body of Christ, and finally to give worship to God, is in itself a liturgical action glorifying God in Jesus Christ and in the church. By celebrating it, Christian spouses profess their gratitude to God for the sublime gift bestowed on them in being able to live in their married family lives the very love of God for people and that of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church, his bride. So this is saying that through the sacrament of marriage, we are able to truly worship, genuine worship, in family life and marital life. So God gave us sex as a means to signify and facilitate a union between man, woman, and God himself, and to help man and woman be perfected in love. So sex makes us closer. It makes us more close to God. The church teaching is that each time you have sex with your spouse, you are recommitting yourself to the vows that you made on your wedding day. So keep that in mind when you're feeling cranky. The third superpower is that sex has the power to be a physical sign of God's passion for us. Now, we experience sacraments with our bodies, right? Baptism, water is placed on us. Confirmation, oil. In the Holy Eucharist, we receive Christ in the form of bread and wine. Now, marriage, we also receive that sacrament with our bodies through the act of sex. And in sex, we physically experience the passionate love that God has for us. In fact, sex offers us a rare glimpse of the invisible made visible, the passionate, sometimes overwhelming love of God. The fourth superpower is that sex has the power to unite. So sex is a physical sign of the couple's oneness. There is a deep connection that we see physically in sex that represents the way that these two people have been bound together. Remember, before the fall, way back in the garden, man and woman experienced what is called original unity. This means perfect harmony with each other and God. And we can get close to that type of unity only in the sex act. Sex unites people biologically. Their bodies are connected. So when a couple has sex chemicals in the brain, in both the man and the woman, are released in the body. Now, research has shown that these chemicals, along with others, actually create a physical bond between lovers. As a result, a couple that is regularly intimate, they genuinely miss each other more, and they are more likely to quickly forgive each other or even be vulnerable with each other. And that's because something is happening in your brain that's good. It's so beautiful to see how God's plan involves everything. It involves biology, everything. Now, the fifth superpower of holy sex is that sex has the power to create. Now, we're parents, most of us, I assume, so we know this, right? Sex is so powerful that it can, with God's help, create new life, children. Married to Love rejoices in the awesome power of sex, and it doesn't fear that power. We don't fear that coming together will create a child. We welcome that. Marital sex is open to life and is practicing a love so big that it overcomes the couple and that it results in another person. Now, what's so beautiful is that in the most real way, a family represents the Trinity, because of course we believe that God the Father and God the Son, that they have such an intense love for each other. This love formed the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Likewise, in a marriage, the husband and the wife have such an intense love for each other that they engage in the marital act, and it results in a third person, their child. Now, the family is an ever-expanding circle of God's love. Open to life means taking into consideration, of course, the physical, emotional, spiritual health of the existing children and of the spouse. So, of course, we aren't called to have as many children as we physically can. And oftentimes, we will be called to be good stewards of what we already have. Now, a large conversation that we won't have time for in this series is actually natural family planning. There are many different types of natural family planning, from the Cretan model to the Marquette model to Symptothermal to many, many others. And all of these are natural ways of watching what is happening in a woman's body. And then based on that, deciding if it is the right time to welcome a child or not. Now, we as Catholics use these methods because we know that artificial methods like contraception, for example, the pill or condom, that those create a barrier, that they reject God's plan for our bodies, and that they are an unholy way of not welcoming children as a result of sex. Contraception is very different from natural family planning, because natural family planning rejoices in the way that a woman's body is made and simply takes that into consideration when discerning if it is the right time to have sex. So there is much more to be said on that, but we are going to leave it there for today. So this is the end of our section on married sex. And I know that this was sort of deep with theology whenever we get into JP2's writing. It's a little bit complicated and a little bit heady. So, but for today, I just want you to take away the fact that sex is good for your marriage. And as people who are Catholic and married, we know that marriage is not just a legal agreement, it is a sacrament. We went through marriage prep, we agreed to raise our kids Catholic, we had the big mass at our wedding. Now, all of those things are beautiful, but marriage is not something in the past, marriage is something here and now. Being married to someone does not just mean that you share a mortgage or that you take turns putting the kids to bed. It means that you continue to demonstrate this closeness and this bond, and we do this best through married sex. So my assignment for you tonight is to evaluate how healthy your sex life is. We're going to go into all of the practical, all those little questions that you might be having. We're going to talk about those tomorrow in our long lesson. But for tonight, I want you to evaluate how joyfully do you approach sex, how open to it are you, and how present is it in your mind that when you engage in the sex act, you are renewing this great sacrament with your spouse, and that you are rejoicing in the way that God created you to live as a married couple. So spend some time reflecting on that. And if there are some wounds or some changes that you need to make, prayerfully bring those to Jesus.